here at the Center for Media and Democracy, we were contacted by a whistleblower this spring about a huge number of bills, which are what they call model bills, that were voted on by corporations through this organization in the U.S. called the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is abbreviated to ALEC. So ALEC has been around for a couple of decades in the U.S., but it has been operating without very much public scrutiny. And what we discovered was that through ALEC, corporations in the U.S., many of which were multinational corporations, were actually voting on bills alongside state legislators before those bills were then introduced in state legislatures throughout the U.S. And so hundreds of bills, perhaps over 1,000 bills, have been introduced in state houses across the U.S., cleansed of any reference to the fact that they were already pre-voted on by corporations through ALEC.
What is the difference, if we can continue, between ALEC and other lobby or pressure or, let's say, front groups?
Well, ALEC claims that it does not engage in lobbying. That claim has been disputed by an organization here in the U.S. called Common Cause. The fact is that within the U.S., corporations already do exercise extraordinary influence over legislation by lobbying legislators and by making donations to legislators for their election campaigns, and also making donations to so-called outside interest groups that then run ads around the time of elections here. What's unique about ALEC is that, according to their own internal literature, corporations alongside politicians are given, quote, both a voice and a vote. And so what that means is, while for other individuals who are lobbying a member of a legislature, they may go and appeal to that legislator, meet with that person, meet with their staff, and try to entreat them to support legislation. But here, you have an organization in which politicians are pre-voting on legislation. They're pre-voting on it alongside corporations. And then some of those same legislators are going back to the state house and introducing that legislation without any disclosure that they themselves previously voted on it, or that corporations previously voted on it, and that it advances the bottom line of the corporations that voted on it, in many instances, and also that those corporations are then funders or financiers of their election campaigns, the election campaigns of those politicians.
But still, we cannot say that ALEC's activities are outside the law, can we?
It remains to be seen whether the investigation or request for investigation by the U.S. IRS, the Internal Revenue Service here, will change ALEC's tax status. What that means in the U.S. is that because it's a tax-exempt organization, the donations by corporations and CEOs and front groups to ALEC are tax write-offs. They're tax free, and they reduce the tax burden of the donors. If it's determined that ALEC has been in violation of its tax-exempt status, then future donations might not be tax-free. might not be tax benefits. But as you mentioned, there's no criminal or civil investigation of ALEC alleging wrongdoing under the law. There instead has been a request for an investigation by the IRS about this notion that an organization that has facilitated the voting by corporations and the introduction of these bills is actually engaged in lobbying, which is specially governed under U.S. law.
Can you specify some agendas these big corporations are trying to promote through the ALEC organization?
Sure. They basically touch almost every area of the law, including the rights of people who are killed or injured by corporations, including people who are killed through the deliberate misconduct or gross negligence of a corporation, to basically limit the rights of injured people. Another area of the law that is targeted through ALEC are the rights of workers, to limit the rights of people to organize in unions and to limit the ability of those unions to function effectively. Also to limit the rights of injured workers by changing the rules for U.S. Injury law for injuries on the job. There's also an effort to limit the ability of the federal government in the U.S. as well as state governments to do anything to really address a climate change in order to limit greenhouse gases, CO2, and other gases that are demonstrably affecting the environment. There are also efforts through ALEC to limit the ability to tax the richest of the people in the U.S. And limit the ability to tax corporations, both domestic and multinational corporations, and to limit the amount of revenue available to fund public education in the U.S. and other public services. So there's an array of bills that have been approved through ALEC and voted on by ALEC corporations that limit the rights of individuals and also that would limit local democracy and have the effect of suppressing the exercise of the right to vote here. In addition, they have an expanding international influence where they're trying to export these ideas to Europe and beyond, and are working to expand what I would call radical free market agenda, a sort of reactionary, really, free market agenda in which corporations know best and government's ability to regulate those corporations is dramatically limited.
Do you maybe possess any informations about what is ALEC's actual record in terms of enacted bills that carry its mark?
We do. We know that each year ALEC basically brags that about 20% of the bills that are introduced are passed. We suspect that this spring, in the wake of the 2010 elections here in the U.S., in which a number of Republicans were swept into office based on misleading ads that blamed the financial crisis and deficit on Democrats, that this spring ALEC may well have had unprecedented success in advancing the agenda that is reflected in its legislation through voter ID or suppression laws, numerous changes to the rights of people who are injured or killed by corporations, limits on environmental protections, as well as echoes to ALEC bills to limit the rights of people to unionize, to be engaged in labor unions, trade unions, and other similar protections for workers.
How problematic it is that all bills produced by ALEC are cleaned of all references of who actually wrote them before they reach legislative bodies. Shouldn't this raise some serious questions among legislators that are deciding on their implementation?
We think it should. What ALEC says is that often bills are introduced without disclosing which lobbyists lobbied for them in advance. But in this instance, what we know is that these bills were voted on by corporations, that they actually appear on letterhead of ALEC, and that then they are introduced without any reference to the corporate voting or to ALEC's role. We think that it's very misleading under these circumstances to not disclose the fact that the bill was already previously voted on by corporations and politicians. And we think that any bill that was produced as a result of this process should be viewed with the deepest of skepticism.
This year we saw massive protests and demonstrations in Wisconsin against state bills that cut public spending and strip public employees of their collective union rights. We also saw that some other states already had such regulations. Can we trace the influence of ALEC in these cases too?
Yes. In fact, we have an article on our website called PRWatch.org that details the influence and echo of ALEC bills in Wisconsin this spring. And in fact, what many people didn't realize was that the controversial governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, is an alumni of ALEC, that the controversial Speaker of the United States House of Representatives in the U.S. here, John Boehner, is an alumni of ALEC. Several of the other governors that have been advancing extreme right-wing agenda items, including anti-immigration bills, are alumni of ALEC. And a couple of the presidential candidates on the Republican side for running in 2012 are either members of ALEC or are have been awarded awards by ALEC. So Michelle Bachmann, the Tea Party candidate, is an alumni of ALEC, and Rick Perry, who is the governor of Texas, who is now considered the front runner in the Republican race, is a recent award winner from ALEC for advancing their agenda. So here in Wisconsin, there was a growing awareness among the protesters of these connections between ALEC and the legislation being advanced, but until we were able to make the bills available in July of this year through our site called alecexposed.org, it was difficult to connect the dots because you couldn't trace the legislation word for word without seeing what the corporations had voted on, and then comparing it to the legislation here in Wisconsin and elsewhere.
Recently, we also witnessed hot political debate on topics of debt ceiling race and measures for cutting public deficit in subsequent years. The strongest opposition to provisions of progressive taxation for big corporations came from Republican side. And although the ELEC is claiming that it is a non-partisan organization, a majority of its membership belongs to exactly to this political bloc, which is also constantly promoting interests of big companies. This business political connections seems pretty obvious.
Well, what we know is that in the ALEC leadership, on the politician side, not the corporate side, that they have 104 legislators that are on the board, the ALEC task forces, or serve as a co-chair in each state in the U.S. And according to those numbers, about 103 of those politicians are Republicans and one Democrat. So while the organization describes itself as nonpartisan, while it can describe itself as bipartisan, meaning it has some Democratic members, the fact is that its leadership is largely overwhelmingly right-wing Republican, and its agenda echoes and reinforces the agenda of the right-wing elements of the Republican Party, including the extreme efforts to limit government spending while at the same time blocking efforts to ensure that the richest corporations and the richest citizens pay their fair share of taxes, especially and indeed in a time of great financial crisis, a crisis caused by some of those very same wealthiest interests, along with a deregulatory agenda, an agenda to limit government power to regulate business, that in essence is the trademark of ALEC's so-called free market values.
You also mentioned that ALEC is trying to spread its influence also into Europe. Are you maybe aware of some organizations on our side of the ocean that are willing to cooperate with ALEC?
Well, we know about ALEC's international work. We don't know necessarily all the organizations that they're involved in, but we do know a number of the individuals that are involved in ALEC, including people like Roger Helmer, who is a member of the European Parliament, representing the United Kingdom's East Midlands area. And we actually have on our SourceWatch website, which is sourcewatch.org, we have a list of the politicians that are involved in the EU that are part of ALEC. Well, we think it's quite clear that ALEC is attempting to export this agenda to the European Union and other countries. We're in the midst of actually documenting their efforts abroad and how these efforts advance the agenda of ALEC corporations. So we hope that your listeners will take a look at the alecexposed.org site and also take a look at our other website, prwatch.org, where we will be documenting the role of these global corporations in having what we consider to be excessive influence on policies, not just in the U.S., but worldwide.